The Sports Cast, July 8th, 2021. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch.tv, Twitter, and Apple Podcast. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and review. It will help us out tremendously. Check out our app, The Sports Cast, for iOS, and also visit our website, thesportscast.net. The Euros 2020 and Copa America finales are this weekend. For a soccer fan or a international soccer fan, this is a dream come true. Soccer all weekend. This could equate to a Super Bowl. But anyways, joining us all the way from the West Coast, a man that is becoming fond of the U.S. men's national team, Francisco Flores. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
How's it going, Santiago? Thanks for having me. How dare you say that about me? How dare you?
You know, but which is interesting because you're a huge Mexico fan, but you know the U.S. men's national team pretty well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I know them pretty well. All those MLS players. All of them.
And which, by the way, the MLS All-Star game between the MLS All-Stars and Liga MX, I think that's a pretty good setup right there. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think as long as they take it seriously, I think it would be a good show for the fans. And, you know, as far as the MLS side, I'm worried that they're going to be taking just all their Mexican stars. So we'll see. It's probably just going to be Mexico against Mexico.
Yeah, I know. That could very well be happening. There's a lot of Mexican players playing in the MLS. But will the Liga MX players be serious for this game? That's what I'm wondering.
I think so. I think they will. I mean, it is, you know, all-star game, but I think they'll take it seriously just because there's, you know, the U.S.-Mexico rivalry. And, yeah, some of those Liga MX players might not be Mexican because, you know, a lot of teams don't use foreign players, you know, from South America and whatnot. So we'll see, though. I think they will, though. I think there'll be some incentive to play hard and, you know, 80,000, whatever, 100,000 people, however much they want to fit in there. I think it'll be a good spectacle.
If it's an MLS stadium, it's probably not more than 50,000.
That's true. Well, they'll probably use like what was it?
Like the Cowboy Stadium?
Cowboy Stadium. There we go. Yep.
That'd be perfect. That's the stadium that, well, that stadium and also the Atlanta Stadium, like, had a record crowd of like those Mexican games, which I was like, what? It's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Broke a record, I think. It was like the biggest crowd since COVID, I think. Something like that.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, times haven't changed. I remember back in the 90s where the away team will fill out more fans than the U.S. fans, but it's getting better, but still, it's still a fight.
Yeah, right. You know. You see a lot of green in the stands. So.
Yeah, and the thing is, you got to play it right. Like, I don't even think Columbus is safe anymore for a U.S. team.
There's green everywhere.
I mean, look, if you play in Kansas City, it improves a little bit, but nowhere safe, man. I mean, Miami might be safe because there's not much Mexicans down here.
Yeah, that's true.
But
there's not.
Anyways, that's a whole different podcast to talk about. Euros 2020 final is this weekend, Italy versus England. Let's start with the England defeating Denmark 2-1. First goal was by Denmark by a free kick by Mikael from Denmark, and then an own goal by Denmark gave a goal to England. And then the controversial penalty that was given to Raheem has been debated throughout almost every conversation. Does VAR work? They gave it to England. Francisco, what were your thoughts over this game?
Well, over the game, I thought it was a good game, great game from Denmark. I think they played their hearts out. England, I think, like I've said before on my podcast, that Sir Gareth Southgate is what's holding them back. Like, I don't think that he has like the managerial experience to take this team to where it's at. I think what's taken them there is the talent and him last minute scrambling, putting in Jack Grealish, doing all these things. Yeah, defensively, they've been great, but I don't think that's because of Southgate. I think that's just coming down to the individual talent that they have. That's what's gotten them to the final. And I give no credit to Southgate. I give all the credit to the players.
Now, yeah, go ahead.
Go, Oh, I was going to say, as far as the penalty, for me, no penalty. It was not a penalty. I think Raheem Sterling dove. He saw that the Denmark player was coming in to tackle him. As he was not trying to hit him, he was like, oh, I'm going to miss the ball, so I'm going to pull out. And Sterling went down, which is something that I've seen him do a lot. This guy dribbles into the box. He goes down instead of going for the ball when he's in positions where he could shoot or he's in front of the goal and he could just put it, you know, by the goalie, toe poke or something. But he would rather fall. Like, I don't, I think that's why VAR and whatnot, like, it's just been failing. Like, this is what it's supposed to prevent, and it actually is incentivizing the players to do it more.
Yeah,
any little touch on VAR gets exaggerated in slow motion. As soon as they see, oh, there's contact between the knee and a leg, that's a foul. And I don't think there's plenty of situations where players get away with fouls, with contact, with a little tackle, that's why we wear shin guards, you know? Like, I just think that not every, you know, touch, every, you know, especially in the box, like, I just don't think that it's going to be a foul, and it's now favoring the forwards more, which, I guess that creates more goals. Maybe that's good. That's maybe why, you know, Premier League is all about scoring, so maybe. Maybe that's why VAR is good for them, but I don't like it. I don't like VAR, and I don't like to see players doing this as well.
Yeah, me too. I think what they were looking at very slow motion, I guess any touch to the chin, I guess, is considered a penalty or a foul. It's something that they haven't figured out, like this whole VAR thing. I remember back in the Premier League this past year or the year prior, they were trying to define a handball. Like, okay, because if it touches one centimeter into your shoulder, it's a handball. It's automatic. But was it intentional? You know? Yeah. And then they go with, like, the clear and obvious one. So this VAR thing, and then what they're trying to do with, like, the offside, they're making, like, the little protractor lines a little bit thicker. So if it, like if the person crosses it completely, like, you know, offside, they'll be offside. But it's become a little bit complicated.
Yep. They said it was going to be easier and that it was going to be, you know, not overall clear and obvious, but it was going to help avoid a lot of these debates, I guess you'd call them, you know, but I don't know. I don't like it. VR for me hasn't been working since the very beginning, and it's just making it worse. If you ask me, like, players are diving right in front of our faces and they're calling it penalty.
I comment from Twitch TV. Hunter Nicholas says, "Was it a pen?" Francisco says, "No." I say no, but it happened. You can't reverse these things. So, and I was listening to the English press, and there was like, "Yeah, it wasn't a penalty, but hey, so what?" You know?
Yeah, so. I think in the situation too, the ref should have been like, "Okay, it's extra time." Like, you know, there's a lot of on the line for this game for me to just give it up for a slight touch. Like, the ref should have gone and looked at it, you know, on the screen. Like, I mean, that's something I've also called for, is, you know, for the ref to go up there and make the decision himself. I think that'd be a little bit better. Whereas, you know, this situation, they were just calling him up and communicating through the headset. Like, I think they need to use the screen more. You know, it's the ref's decision. He saw it on the field, and if he can get a better angle, you know, on screen, I think that would be helpful, you know, like maybe get a different angle than what he saw at first. But yeah, they need to do something. They need to make some changes like they were doing with these other rules. Like, the actual VAR needs to, you know, do something. Like, it's been the same and it hasn't been working.
But if they do some changes, I got a feeling VAR is going to take a little bit longer now.
Yeah.
If they want to be very precise, they're going to have either add more refs, like more refs in that video room, or something, like, just take it longer. By the way, that comment where you said about, like, you shouldn't be given penalties at that stage of the tournament, Jose Mourinho said the same thing, by the way.
Oh, really?
Not saying you're Mourinho. So.
I didn't see that interview yet, but they asked him about it at the Roma press conference?
No, it was during Talk Sport, because he's a official contributor for them. And he said, like, at that stage of the tournament, you don't supposed to give that penalty way too easy. I think, I mean, I guess he's saying that refs should be a little bit more particular with those calls.
Yeah.
So, anyways, the penalty was given.
Yeah. Also, I saw, like, I was telling my roommate, we were watching the game, and I was like, oh, look, England's game plan. Give it to Sterling. He's going to dive in the box, get a penalty. And that's exactly what happened. Like, it looked like they had a game plan. Like, all right, if we're tied 1-1, we're just going to try and get a penalty and get the win. Like, players are, even Harry Kane was going down basically any contact that he was getting from Vestergaard and what's his name? Christensen. Like, any little tackle that, you know, he was just going down. Killing the clock, which they were tied 1-1, so I don't see why they were doing that.
Yeah, and these players know. By the way, Raheem Sterling, is it me or he's having a great tournament or he's playing for a new contract with Man City?
He's been, I think it's just been the way that how much minutes he was getting in the Premier League. He's been this good. He was one of their best players last season, getting like what 20 goals, or not this past season, the season before that, he got 20 goals and 15 assists, something like that. Like, he was tearing it up. And then this last season, for some reason, I felt like Pep was not using him as much. So I think we just haven't seen him in, we didn't see him as many minutes as we did in the past. So I think he's always been good. I just don't like that he dives.
Yeah, that's something that they're pulling the Neymars on this one.
Yeah.
Penalty was given. Harry Kane shot the penalty. Schmeichel blocked it, but Kane rebounded and scored the goal. Schmeichel, great goalkeeper, but couldn't get this one to be a catch.
Yeah, I felt like he could have done a little bit better to catch it, but I mean, in those situations, a goalie is trying to reach and dive as far as he can because that's where he thinks, players are going to put it, right? In the bottom. Left bottom right corner as far as possible away from him. So he's going to try to outreach and stretch as far as he can. And when you're doing that, it's hard to come back and bring your hands in and also try to catch the ball. I mean, he blocked it, which was good, but I think the Denmark players fell asleep a little bit, the defenders. Like, I think their reaction should have been a little bit faster. I mean, Harry Kane does have a little bit of advantage. He's right there. But yeah, I think nothing bad to say about the actual penalty block itself. I think it was just a really bad penalty, but with that power, you never know what could happen.
They were pretty tired by extra time, but the English prevailed. You mentioned Grealish. You think he needs more playing time, or do you think he's good coming off the bench?
Oh, I definitely think he should be starting. Also, did you notice that he went in at like the 70th minute and then he came out during the extra time? He
I saw that,
got
yeah.
pulled out, so I thought that was a little bit messed up. I'm like,
Was
come
that for
on, man.
penalty kick reasons or?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think what the commentators were saying that Southgate didn't trust him to close the game out, to play defensively because he was just, what does he do? He just goes up and dribbles, takes it to the corner, which I mean that also takes up time, but I felt like he just doesn't trust him defensively. He goes, he I mean. It's Jack Grealish. She's number 10. Like, I don't think he needs to worry too much about defending. But I definitely think he should be starting behind Harry Kane, 4-2-3-1. Like, they definitely have the capability of doing it. 4-3-3, whatever you want to call it. It's so fluid nowadays that, yeah, I think he should be playing. He could play on the wing as well. He's got everything you could possibly want. Not super super fast, but I mean he could basically get around everybody. He's got a lot of moves in his pocket, in his back pocket.
Maybe he'll start for Qatar. Now, Jordan Henderson, which I'm a huge Liverpool fan, coming off the bench has been working out. I thought he'd be more of a starter, but you think this is a good plan what Southgate is doing with Henderson?
I'm not a big Henderson fan. I think Declan Rice is good enough to cover, I mean, both sides by himself. I don't think he gets a lot of help from Calvin Phillips. So maybe a player like Henderson would be a little bit better to help them out. That's why I think, with the way that they're playing, 4-3-3, 4-2-3-1, whatever you want to call it, I think, it allows them to give a little bit of fluidity and give the younger players that are not as experienced, I think, a little bit less pressure when they're on the field to like defend and whatnot. So that's why I don't think Henderson is starting because they don't really need his defensive qualities. I think that Declan and Calvin Phillips are good enough to do that. And also McGuire and whatnot, like their defense is pretty solid.
So far, Francisco is okay with the lineup except the Grealish part. That's the only tweaking that Southgate needs to do. Let's go to the other semi. What was that?
Said nothing against Mal, but I just think Grealish should be safe.
Hey, I don't know about the final, but it might be too short notice to change some things then, unless a huge injury happens. The other semifinal, Italy defeating Spain in penalties. Spain took a different tactic this time. They went full possession circa 2010. They removed Morata, possession game, but it did not help them out. Italy scored the first goal, then Spain did. What'd you think about this match?
I think Spain played a little bit better. I did like the possession, but didn't really do much with it. They had a lot of chances that they didn't take advantage of. What's his name? Oyarzabal. I think he missed like three or four shots. Dani Olmo had like three or four shots as well. But yeah, I think they just didn't take advantage of the shots and the chances that they had in front of the goal. Did get one goal, but that was after Morata came in and as a super sub. So that says something about that. I think they should have just started with Morata. He started the other game, so I don't know why he came off the bench.
Has this?
And then
yeah, go ahead.
Oh yeah, and then Italy. Surprise. Like, I honestly didn't think they were going to make it this far. They've been, going into the tournament, not losing and, all that. How many was it? 30 games without losing or something like that?
Undefeated, man.
Undefeated. And I was not on Italy's side, to be honest. Like, I just thought they weren't going to have it. But I think they've been showing that they have the quality, especially Chiesa, like, he's been tearing it up, and Chiramoble as well, and Insigne. They've, great dribblers, and I think that's what's been causing the defense, their opponents a lot of trouble. Is just how good they are on the ball, and the runs that they can make from deep.
And one of the reasons that I've been seeing Italy doing well is like, look what they've been doing at Serie A with Atalanta and all these teams doing well in the Champions League and all that. This is a reflection of what's going on in Italy is going into the Euros. Yeah, they're going far. They're going deep. This Italian squad did not make the last World Cup. They're rebounding. Of course, they got an uphill battle against England in Wembley. Spain, Luis Enrique. I like him. I think I'm not saying he's a De Bosque guy type of guy, but I think this guy could do wonders in the next World Cup, probably. What do you think?
Well, I'm gonna be honest. I don't like Luis Enrique at all.
Not many really Madrid fans like him. I have no idea why, but
right. I'm not a big fan. I don't think he's too biased when he makes his call-ups. I think that he chooses the players that he wants versus the players that are the best for the team. I think that him switching up kind of last minute tactics on in this game against Italy shows that he, I don't want to say inexperienced, but like, I don't know. I feel like that should have been something that should have been worked out.
Lacking maturity.
In the group stage. Yeah. Like, I just don't think that coming into this game, because nobody was basically Spain, I would say that a lot of them were not really behind the team, like they didn't have the trust in this team like they did in previous Euros. My bias is that Ramos wasn't there. We had Eric Garcia, a 19-year-old, starting with Laporte, who has never played in this Spanish team. He just actually became a Spanish citizen and was able to play for them. So,
but yeah, France didn't need him.
France didn't need him. So that's why I think that he's just made like a lot of bad calls. And I think Spain should think about who's going to take them to the World Cup.
But they made the top four
after this. They did make the top four, but I do think that they need to think about it. They need to think about it hard.
but they were lucky with Switzerland. I have to say that.
On the wrist or something.
Yeah, I mean, this Spanish team has good talent. It's not the 2010 Spain, that's for sure.
No.
But it could cause some damage in the World Cup next year. We'll see how things crumble. But Italy went on and ahead and defeated Spain in this game. Italy, great squad, young, as I was saying before. A lot of things going on with Serie A. Verratti, Donnarumma, Chiellini showing his veteran leadership. And Jorginho, Chelsea guy. Hey, things are happening. So Italy versus England. We'll get into the predictions later. Let's go into the Copa America. Two nights ago, Argentina defeated Colombia and penalties. Leo Messi, wow, having a great tournament. I think he really wants this one. This might be his last chance to get a good trophy in his hands for Argentina. Francisco, what are your thoughts and observations over this match?
Well, I think the game was pretty good to watch. I think in the penalty shootout, Argentina was a little too excited, a little overhyped because, Colombia, I think, was trying to, like, bully them and smack talk them or whatnot. I think it's due to Messi, because he's the best player. So it's pretty easy to rile him up, I think, on the field, especially when he's not scoring and whatnot. Like, it's pretty easy to get him pissed off, I would say. I think the shootout, Emi Martinez, a great goalkeeper from the Premier League.
Aston Villa, Grealish.
what can you expect? Obviously he was going to stop a couple. And, I think Argentina just had the better squad, and I kind of expected a little bit more from them. But Colombia just putting in the work and, using Juan Cuadrado a lot on the wings. And they do have, Duván Zapata, who was at Atalanta, in Serie A, who's, also showing that, players from Serie A over here in Copa America are making a big difference too. So that's good to see. I think Argentina should have had it in the bag. I don't think they needed to go all the way to penalties.
Yeah, and Argentina scored in the beginning of the game in the first 10 minutes. Then Colombia tied in the 61st minute by Luis Diaz, Porto. We're definitely going to see his value go up after this tournament. Colombia, my parents are from Colombia, so really surprised they made it to the top four. Surpassed Uruguay, so that's saying a lot. But good performance with no James, Francisco. This is could this be a red flag for James' future for Colombia?
Maybe. I think he's got he's good enough. He's got the talent too. Where maybe they told him, hey, we're gonna call you up for the World Cup for your last ride, and sit this one out. Don't worry about it. We'll take us to the top four. I don't know. I think there was Edwin Cardona, Crackdona, as some people call him.
Which played in Mexico for a bit.
Yeah, I played in Mexico. I think James is way better than that guy. Oh, yeah, so, yeah. That's maybe that's one spot that he could have took. But I don't know. I'm not a manager of an international squad. Never have been. So
not yet.
Whatever tactics and plans. Not yet, at least, yeah. Whatever tactics he had in mind, it got him to the top four, so we got to congratulate him for that at least.
Definitely a good tournament by Colombia. Surpasses my expectation. Didn't think they'll go back to go past the quarters, but Argentina made it to the final, and they faced Brazil. And how did Brazil get there? They beat Peru 1-0. Brazil hasn't been too sexy like these past two games. The first half, they scored the goal. Peru almost had a tie towards the end of the game. But did not get it through. But this Brazil team, are the favorites still, Francisco?
I would say so. I'd say basically due to Neymar, that's why. Just like how Argentina are the favorites because of Messi. It's the same reason. So I think ultimately the two best teams are going to face off in the final. And there's nothing more, nothing better you could have asked for. I even heard rumors that they might allow fans into the final. But those are just rumors. I highly doubt that's going to happen after everything that they did with switching the actual the venue, the country of where the tournament was going to be.
Two countries.
I don't think two countries. Yeah, I don't think they're going to want to go through that and, you know, get torn apart, because if they're going to allow people in the final, then they should have just allowed people in the whole tournament.
Keep it neutral.
Yeah.
Venue sake, Europe, for the Euros, it did it in like you know, through cities, main cities. Should they do the same thing for South America, maybe, for the future?
Honestly, I think it would be a good idea. I think it'd be a good way to get a little bit more of exposure to some of the countries that, you know, have kind of fallen through the cracks, as far as like, hey, teams are actually buying a lot of players from these countries, like Colombia, you know, Paraguay and Uruguay. Like those countries have pretty good soccer leagues. I mean, Liga MX is pulling players from there left and right. From Argentina, I mean, they pull players all the time.
Which Mexico has a limit for foreign players, right?
Yeah, they have a limit. I think it's actually going to decrease as well. Like, they're going to allow even less because they want more Mexicans in to be playing in Liga MX,
which has been a talk for MLS as well.
Yep, exactly. But yeah, I think it'd be a good idea to fill up some of those stadiums that got left over from, you know, the Brazil World Cup that are empty.
They were built for the World Cup, and that's it, just for 4 weeks.
That's it.
Unbelievable. But yeah, like I would agree with Francisco. I think having it through cities, of course, I think South America travel might be a little bit more farther, because in Europe everything is kind of condensed. Because I know to travel from Argentina to Colombia might be like a 4-hour trip, maybe. But hey, let it be interesting, and obviously condense it down and have a clear finale, like I guess Brasilia or Rio de Janeiro, or, you know, whatever is equatable of Wembley in Europe. So it all makes sense. Let's go into predictions this weekend. Italy versus England. Francisco, how do you see this match going to go?
Well, every time that through the knockout phase now that I've been asked, oh, Italy against whatever team, I said, nope, Italy doesn't have it. So for the final, I'm going to have to go with Italy. I think they're going to have the experience. They're going to have the youth and the talent to beat the talent of England that will have no backbone, because Gareth Southgate will not have the tactical genius to beat Mancini in the final.
Something that is going to be interesting. The only thing that, I mean, I'll say England, the edge is playing at home. Do you think Wembley has a big advantage there for England?
It is technically a home game for them, but I don't think that'll matter. We've seen plenty of teams lose at Wembley. You know, when they were playing there at home, Spurs, you know, when that was their home.
So for a short stint,
I don't think that nothing will play in there. I think that England just need to be careful and not go into that game cocky, because I think that's how they're going to go. I think they're going to go in there cocky, thinking that they're going to thrash Italy left and right. They're old and blah, blah, blah. And I think they're going to get slapped in the face and caught off guard with what Italy has to bring to the table.
And that's something that I think this match could go to penalties. It has a smell of it.
Zeros or
like a 1-1.
1-1.
And then one of them will be like a penalty that Raheem dove. Unfortunately for Italy.
It's going to go 1-0. I'll say 1-0 Italy, 89th minute penalty. Sterling dives, and then Donnarumma blocks it. And he'll, you know, solidify his starting role at PSG. They'll be like, yep. He must start over Keylor Navas.
Wow, there you go. The predictions are going deep. Argentina versus Brazil at Clasico. Like Francisco says, probably no fans, but, you know, with the Conor Bowl, you never know. You got to be ready for these surprising moves. They might do it again. But what's going to happen there? Will Messi win his Copa America, or Brazil will win, and then it'll be a given?
Well, Messi is going to be crying, and they're going to be sad tears, because Brazil is going to beat them. Neymar is going to take them to school, and they're just not going to have the firepower to know what to do. They're going to just get stunned by how well Brazil moves the ball around and gets it to Neymar. And yeah, before they know it, Brazil is going to be up 2-3-0.
There you have it. Brazil is going all in. I think Neymar has been playing a fantastic tournament. Same for Messi. Yeah. I think Brazil's star loaded. Argentina just has Messi. And then, of course, you got Di Maria, but he's in the bench most of the time. It's a young team, but at the same time, I think Brazil is star loaded. But they've been kind of draggy these past two games. I think that maybe they're saving their energy for this final. It could be a possibility. But this Brazil team is looking good. As I've heard one from one person saying, he thinks Brazil and France are the two best teams in the world right now.
Yep. I would agree. I think playing wise, nobody wants to play against them in a final.
Yeah.
That's a really tough match. And, you know, you go down the list, you know, A, B, C, D, their E squad can, you know, compete against most of these teams.
Yeah, a lot of players from everywhere, not just from Europe, but also some players in Brazil itself. So we'll see what happens this weekend. Francisco says Italy and Brazil. I say England and Argentina. So I'm doing the opposite of what Francisco's saying.
Nice.
I think it's very possible. England is more probable than the other one, but we'll see. Messi has to play hard. He needs to play his grit. He's got to play all those years to play for Barcelona, put it all into this one game. You know,
he's got to get both of those ankles bloody, not just the left one.
Oh, I know. That was crazy. That's a hustler right there.
Yeah.
Sergio Ramos joins PSG, your fellow Madrid colleague. What happened there? What are your thoughts over that that pickup by PSG?
Oh, I didn't know you were going to ask me this question, but you know what?
Are you prepared?
You'll get my genuine reaction. Okay. No notes. I don't need notes for this. No, to be honest, look, I'm not happy with the way he left the team. I thought he should have taken the deal, whatever Madrid was offering him, because in his own words, he said, "I would play for Real Madrid for free." That's a quote for him. You can go look it up in video. So I know he wouldn't have played for actual, like, free, like zero money on a contract. But, you know, I just thought that he should have taken whatever deal they were giving him, you know, a 1-year loan deal or extension. That's the rule, you know, for every player that's over 30 at Madrid. And, you know, nobody got an exception, you know, Ronaldo, you know, whoever, like nobody, that rule applied to everybody, no matter how big of a star you're, what you did to the team. And if he didn't like that, I think that's BS. Like those are the rules of the club. And I don't think he should have ever had to worry about, oh, am I going to not be under contract for Madrid, or are they not going to offer me money? I think we were always going to be happy to have him no matter what. Even if he was 38 years old and, you know, both of his knees were done and he couldn't even run anymore, like we would probably still have him on the bench. So I don't like the move at all. I don't like that he's going to PSG, and I don't like that we're going to have to compete against him in Champions League probably. And yeah, it's
that'd be a weird
lost
moment.
Our captain. Awkward.
Yeah,
it's I don't really know. I mean, from what I saw, they left on good terms, you know, with Florentino Perez telling him, you know, you can come back whenever you want. I don't think he's ever going to come back as a player. I think he'll probably come back as some kind of ambassador or something, like all the other players have, like Roberto Carlos and whatnot. But yeah, nobody is special, I guess. No one is over the badge. And
no one's safe.
I do like that. No one is safe. I do like that, and I think that does give the players, you know, that puts them in the mentality that the club is after, you know, trophies, and it's there to win, and it's not there for an individual, you know, to make them a star or whatever. It's for the team. It's for the Galacticos, you know. And so, yeah, I am 100% against it. I don't like it at all.
Have you seen the ESPN Plus special about Los Galacticos?
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
It's really good. It's really good. I watched it last week, and, you know, hey, Florentino, it's a business guy. He changed the whole system. Like, it was more of like a family, but he made him more of like a global brand, and how he brought in Luis Figo, Zidane, Ronaldo. It was stacked, but it's interesting. Like, they pointed out that they didn't win too many European championships, actually none. with that squad, with Beckham and everyone. And then and then he left for a little bit, came back, and then won like tons of championships. It's quite interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good story. Yeah, he's a businessman, and everything that he has done is to, you know, grow the brand globally, and I think he's done a great job of that. And you know, the only thing that's going to make me happy is if he brings Mbappe. So that's what I'm hoping for. Mbappe, please, please come. Please come to Madrid. We want you.
Yeah. How serious are these rumors? I've been hearing Man United wants Mbappe.
I mean, everybody wants him. There's no doubt about that. But I do think that there's been a special place in that locker room set aside for him for the last two or three years, you know, a little open locker that has no name on it, but everybody knows who it's for. It's for Mbappe, and whatever we have to pay for him, let's get him now. Like we can't wait. We can't wait to get him for free next year. But let's just pay it out.
Would you say that was it worth trading Ramos for Mbappe?
Man, that's a good question.
I'll let you think about that one and probably sleep on it if you want.
Yeah. Let me think about it. That's one that I'm going to have to sleep on.
That's a tough one. That's a tough one.
That is a tough one.
Anyways, there you have it. A lot going on. Of course, Mourinho signed with AS Roma. Well, he started today, his first day with AS Roma. He's into doing business. He even defended himself. Hey, I won, you know, championships with Man United, Chelsea, and he brought Tottenham to a final, which is it is an accomplishment at a certain degree.
Right? I mean, you got to love Mourinho, you know, flaunting himself, and I'm surprised he didn't put up the three fingers like he always does.
Oh, he didn't do it. But hey, maybe he's being more humble now.
We got another humble Mourinho.
Hey, you know, humble pie. We'll see what he does with Roma.
Already got a humble Mourinho in Manchester United.
Oh, yeah, that's quite something. His story continues. He's still a lot more to go. We'll see what he does in Serie A and Roma. Anyways, Francisco, what is the best way to reach you online to chat about England's success at the Euros?
Yeah, if you want to talk about the Euros, Copa America, Liga MX, Sergio Ramos, Real Madrid, whatever, or anything else you want to ask me, the best place to reach me is on Twitter at FranciscoBCP. Also, don't forget, I'm on a podcast. It's called On the Counter Podcast. It is a soccer podcast. We talk about Premier League, all of the important stuff, obviously right now, Euros and whatnot, with my co-host, Drew Pels. That is at On the Counter Podcast on Twitter and at On the Counter Pod on Twitter and at On the Counter Podcast everywhere else.
What do you think? Who do you think Drew Pels will go for, England or Italy?
I think he's going for the Italians.
He has a safe pick. And how about the art? Well, I mean, will you guys talk about the Copa America or not really?
I think so. Yeah, I think we're going to make a Copa America video too.
Yeah, because it's funny because now we know everyone's putting like the Euros like the number one tournament and then Copa America is like second place. That's what it feels like. And then Gold Cup is going to look horrible third, you know, compared to these tournaments.
They're happy that it's the final, you know, this weekend. When they're starting, it's the final. So everybody's going to, I think, just jump onto the Gold Cup no matter what.
I mean, at least
it's just more soccer.
Yeah, more soccer, and we'll see if the USA-Mexico rivalry continues. Anyways, you can reach us at thesportscast.net or download our app, The Sportscast, and also you could follow us on Twitter at thesportscast1. We'll be following the tournaments this weekend, the finals, the Euros, and the Copa America, and we'll be live tweeting it as well. And before we go, who do you have for tonight? Game 2, Bucks and the Suns.
Bucks and the Suns, game 2. I am going for the Bucks and the Greek Freak.
Okay, cool. And the poll question, I forgot that. Which nut goes best with chocolate? Options are almonds, peanuts, walnuts, or hazelnuts.
With chocolate? Oh man, I think I like almonds.
Almonds is a good pick.
Chocolate covered almonds; those are good.
Yeah, people are saying peanuts, 40%. Almonds, walnuts, and hazelnuts are tied at 20.
Oh, they're all tied.
They're all tied to peanuts, so that is looking good. I pick hazelnuts because I love Nutella. So that's an easy choice.
Oh, yeah.
Good combo there. Anyways, Francisco, always a pleasure. Soccer continues. I'll probably see you during the Gold Cup again. So we'll talk soccer before the Premier League starts as well. So.
Yep. Sounds good.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me. See you on the next one.